Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Margarita Bat Polina, Ron Ben Margarita, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Shifra Hoffman, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to discuss a very alarming danger that looms on the horizon in the future for the Jews of Israel. There are roughly 7 million Jews now living in Israel, and there is a tremendous danger to their survival. Now, first of all, let's understand something. The state of Israel and the Jewish people can never be completely destroyed. God intends to bring final redemption to the Jews and to the righteous Gentiles through Israel. So there will always be a remnant that will survive. But there could be terrible suffering. Millions of Jews could be killed, God forbid. Israel will never be destroyed. This Israel that was created will never be completely destroyed, despite the best efforts of all of Israel's enemies and of the world to destroy Israel. They will not succeed. But again, out of 7 million Israeli Jews, who knows how many can be murdered with the type of weaponry and the type of attacks that Israel will be facing, God forbid, in the near future. And we're going to outline that for you, because not many people are aware of just how severe the threat is to Israel. The threats to Israel from so many different fronts are so severe. Israel is in more danger now than it has ever been in her than we have ever seen in the existence of the Jewish state. First of all, we've spoken many times on this program about the Iranian nuclear threat. I don't think I have to go into great detail to explain why a threat of nuclear bombs falling on Israeli cities, God forbid, would be a tremendous loss for Israel and could lead to huge numbers of deaths and huge numbers of injured and the destruction of Israel's economy. So the threat of a nuclear Iran is a very real one. And again, let's understand something. The Iranian mullahs believe in an insane religion and in an insane ideology of death. They believe death is blessed, and they believe sacrificing millions of their own people in a nuclear exchange would be worth it, as long as they could slaughter huge numbers of Jews, God forbid. So this Iranian nuclear threat is a very real threat, and they are very close to producing nuclear bombs. And all of this is because Benjamin Netanyahu, who was prime minister, and other prime ministers aside from him, allowed this to happen and allowed us to get to this point. Israel still can destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, or at least set it back enough so it would eliminate the threat for the next 5 or 10 years. Israel has the capability of doing that. But even doing that, Israel would pay a heavy price in terms of the war that would come as a result of that. Is it worth it for Israel to destroy Iran's nuclear threat, even though it would lead to war and possibly lead to all types of casualties because of the missile attacks and other attacks that would come from all different sources on Israel as a result? Is it worth it? Of course it's worth it. Because nuclear bombs can lead to the deaths of millions, God forbid. Nothing is more dangerous than nuclear bombs. So, yes, it is worth it, and Israel should do it. And it's something we've been advocating for decades. If they had done it all the decades ago, when Benjamin Netanyahu was warning in the 1990s about this problem and making speeches and promising to take action and never did anything, that coward. If action had been taken all the years that JTF and the Kahanis had been warning about this problem, at that time it would have been relatively easy to do. There would have been virtually no casualties. Now it's a very complicated and difficult situation. Israel can do it, but it's a very complicated and difficult situation. So Yes, Israel should take action, but the Iranian nuclear threat is a very real threat to Israel's survival. And other Muslim countries, in reaction to Iran building nuclear bombs, God forbid, other Muslim countries surrounding Israel will also want to build nuclear bombs, God forbid. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey. All of these countries are going to want to build nuclear arsenals as well. And the danger of a nuclear confrontation and nuclear war with those countries is always a very real danger as well. So, the nuclear threat is a very real threat. We've spoken about this many times. But there's another threat that many of you may not be aware of. Hezbollah, the Iranian allied terrorist, Muslim terrorist organization in Lebanon, which basically controls Lebanon. Hezbollah has over 150,000 advanced missiles and rockets aimed at Israel. Over 150,000. And Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system, which works against a high percentage of the short-range rockets and the relatively primitive rockets that are being fired by Hamas into Israeli towns in southern Israel, and in the center of Israel now as well. But the Iron Dome is completely ineffective against advanced long-range missiles, which is what Hezbollah has. There are 150,000 advanced and accurate missiles and rockets in the hands of the Hezbollah terrorists. And that's in Lebanon, and there are tens of thousands of other advanced missiles and rockets aimed at Israel, in Syria, in Iraq, in Iran itself, in Yemen. The threat is tremendous and could do unbelievable damage, can destroy Israel's infrastructure, can destroy Israel's entire electrical grid, can knock out all power to Israel, can cripple and paralyze the Israeli economy. The consequences could be so horrific. And Israel has no viable defense against this right now, except for a preemptive attack. In other words, Israel goes in and strikes against all these targets. And there will be, and if they do that, some of those missiles will be fired at Israel, and there will be casualties, God forbid, and there will be tragedy. But if Israel doesn't do it, the impact of having this gigantic missile and rocket force fired into the tiny Jewish state could be catastrophic beyond words. This is an unbelievable threat that, again, Benjamin Netanyahu and his other Israeli prime ministers, but primarily Benjamin Netanyahu, is responsible for this. He allowed this problem to fester and did nothing about it. And you have the Hamas threat in Gaza and the Fatah threat in Judea and Samaria. What if you had a situation where there was a war with Hezbollah with their 150,000 missiles, and then missiles are being fired from Iranian bases in Iraq, in Syria, in Iran itself, and in Yemen, all being fired into Israel in coordination with the Hamas, with the attacks from Hamas in Gaza and the attacks from Hezbollah in Lebanon? What if all this was happening at once? Could easily happen. Israel has been attacked simultaneously on multiple fronts in the past, in 1967, in 1948, in 1967, in 1973 it happened. So the possibility of this happening is very, very real. And in a situation where Israel faces hundreds of thousands of missiles and rockets, the Israeli Air Force cannot solve that problem. You can't just have the Israeli Air Force go and bomb and take care of that problem. The Israeli Air Force, in coordination with Israeli intelligence in Iran, could knock out a huge portion of Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. That they can do. But this missile threat, there are too many different places, and it's too difficult to do just from the air. So, if we had this situation, where Hezbollah is attacking from Lebanon with 150,000 missiles and rockets, Iran Iraq, Syria, Yemen, all firing missiles into Israel also at the same time. Hamas in Gaza also firing. And then millions of Arabs, in coordination with this, millions of Arabs in Israel itself now, because Israel allows millions of Arabs who hate the Jewish state to live there. Millions of Arab Jew haters start rising up, and there's a civil war in Israel itself. Can you imagine Israel facing this? Israel does not have the ability to face this type of situation. Does not have the capability. The Israeli army, which was so victorious in the 1967 Six-Day War, and which is so admired, the great Israeli army is a joke today. It is demoralized and castrated by decades of left-wing generals and commanders telling the soldiers that they're not allowed to fire and they're not allowed to fight and we don't want to win and you can't win military victories. It's impossible to win militarily. We can only have diplomacy and compromise and cave in and make concessions. This is the philosophy of the generals and the commanders that run the Israeli army, and it's gone down to the point where Israel's army is demoralized, decapitated, castrated. The soldiers are not trained for fighting a ground war. What if Israel has to fight a ground war? Because ground war may be the only way to stop these missiles, to run into Lebanon and grab control of all these areas so that they could stop the firing of the missiles. You might have to go in and invade Lebanon and invade Gaza and do invasions with ground forces. But the Israeli army is not capable of doing the type of invasion that it did in the past because its soldiers are not well trained anymore, are not motivated anymore. Israel has been told everything in war now is going to be virtual, it's going to be like computer wars, and we have the Israeli Air Force to take care of us, we don't have to worry anymore. So Israel's very capable and very talented tank battalions and other divisions that were able to quadruple the size of Israel in just 6 days in the 1967 war, those days are over. You don't have that anymore in Israel. And if all of this is not enough, sitting on Israel's southern border is Egypt. Egypt, that Israel gave the entire vital, strategic, huge Sinai to, the Sinai Peninsula, which could have been a buffer to protect Israel against Egypt. You have a huge Egyptian army being trained and armed by the United States with the support of Israel and the support of AIPAC and the so-called Jewish lobby. Billions and billions of dollars and the most sophisticated American weaponry is now in, and American training is now going to the Egyptian army. A huge army. And it's a huge country, Egypt. It's a country of over 100 million people. Israel has 7 million Jews. Just one Arab country alone that is on Israel's southern border has over 100 million. That's the type of odds Israel has to be confronted with. What if Egypt gets involved and Egypt becomes a threat as well, in addition to all these other threats? So this tremendous threat to Israel's survival, the threat of a civil war with the Arabs who live within Israel, millions of Arabs who live in the land of Israel, the threat of all these of hundreds of thousands of missiles being fired on Israeli cities and towns and infrastructure and knocking out all of Israel's power and all everything, catastrophic, just catastrophic, God forbid. The casualties could be enormous, God forbid. Israel doesn't, you know, you see Israelis hiding in bunkers when they live near Gaza in places like Sderot. But in places like Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, most Israelis don't even have bunkers to run to. They're completely unprepared. So there is a tremendous threat because of the reckless, evil, traitorous policies of Israeli leaders. And because you, out there, who supported the Likud and supported Netanyahu and thought that he's better than the other one, you fools! All these years we tried to warn you the phony right is just as bad as the left, in fact worse. There's no difference. That we need new leadership in Israel. So that's the tremendous threat we're facing. And then there's a second threat. So that's all the big threat from missiles and external armies and external enemies. But there's another threat that Israel is facing, and that involves the land of Israel, the conquest of the land of Israel. The Arabs are conquering the land of Israel. Hundreds of acres of Israeli land, of Israeli Jewish land, are being taken over by Arabs every week with illegal building, and no one is stopping them. They're conquering and taking over and creating a so-called Palestinian state in everything but name, so that Israel would be in boundaries that are completely indefensible. And not just, even in pre-67 Israel, they're taking over. They're taking over the north and the Galilee, and in the south, the Negev. They're taking over. They're conquering the land of Israel, with taking over hundreds of acres every single week. They're winning on the ground, and no one is stopping them, and no one is doing anything about it. Except for one group. One group is doing something about it, which you know who we're talking about. We're talking about the Hilltop Youth. That only JTF is the only organization in the world that supports them financially. What a joke! But anyway, these Arabs with their illegal building, they're encircling Jewish communities and towns, cutting them off from each other, creating Jewish enclaves that are surrounded and defenseless. They're funded by the European Union. Germany, France, the countries that murdered 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, now are trying to destroy Israel from within and out. Now they'd love to see another Holocaust. The Germans haven't changed. The French haven't changed, and the other Europeans haven't changed. They want another Holocaust. They're funding the destruction of Israel by funding this massive Arab illegal building. It's all funded by the European Union. The biggest, the most dominant force in the European Union is Germany, which murdered over 6 million Jews in the Holocaust, committed the worst crime in human history. And Britain also, of course. Britain is now out of the European Union. They left the EU. But when they were in the EU, they were enthusiastically participating. And now, even though they're not in the EU, they're still helping the Arabs. They're still helping the Arabs with their destructive building. The only people standing against this now, against all odds, are the Hilltop Youth. Heroic, courageous young Jews who are putting their lives on the line in very dangerous situations under the worst circumstances to save the people of Israel from this catastrophe, from this Arab takeover of the land of Israel. And of course, the Hilltop Youth, they can't destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, and they can't knock out Hezbollah's 150,000 missiles and rockets on the Lebanon border. They can't take care of those external threats. But the internal threat in Israel, where all the land is being, all the strategic land and all the strategic areas are being taken over by Israel's Arab enemies, that very real threat, which is no less of a threat than the external threats, in that area, the Hilltop Youth are the only positive force today acting against this. They're taking over, the Hilltop Youth are taking over strategic hilltops, dozens of strategic hilltops in Judea and Samaria that prevent the Arabs from choking off Jewish communities. If they stay there, they're preventing the Arabs from completely choking off Jewish communities and Jewish towns, and that make it more difficult to create a so-called Palestinian state. But the hardships that they face and the threat of expulsion that they're constantly under. Just imagine being in your late teens or early 20s, and it could be you're a bachelor, a yeshiva student, but you love Israel, so you decide to go there and you decide to devote your life and live on a hilltop. Or you might be married and even have children, even have babies. Some of them are married with babies. and you go with your family to live there. You have no electricity in some cases. You have no water in some cases. Although JTF is taking care of that. We're working to get them the funds so that they'll all have electricity and they'll all have water, God willing. But in many cases, you've gone without electricity, without water. And you put all your belongings in a modest, simple house that you build, a one or two room home that you build for yourself and your family. And then the army comes with bulldozers, and the army and the police, and they destroy your home and destroy everything you've ever had. You lose everything. And you don't have any other source of income. You have no source because you were going to support yourself on the hilltop. You had animals, and you were going to on the hilltop, and they were going to be grazing, and you were going to be planting and supporting yourself on the hilltop. But you can't do that now. They take everything from you. They destroy what you have. During the day, in the summertime, it's brutally hot. And yet you work to rebuild it again. You work to build it up again after they destroyed it. You come back. Dozens of young, heroic Jews come back and rebuild. And they do rebuild it. They succeed in rebuilding what was destroyed within a week or two. Incredible what they do. And they need money, of course, to do it, which is another reason why JTF is so important. When that happens, they need JTF to help them do it. But they come and they rebuild. In the brutal heat, hours working in the heat, building, putting things together, to build homes. And at night, it's no longer hot. At night, it's very cold. There's wind, very strong winds. And it can get cold. And in the wintertime, it rains. And so everything is muddy, and you live in mud. Because there are no floors there. You just live in mud. And there's no water for you to clean yourself or wash yourself. You're living in mud. And even the blankets you have to cover yourself from the cold wind are all wet from the rain. Because you haven't been able to finish building the roof yet, so your blankets are all wet and your clothes are all wet. And you're a young man in 21 years old, and you have your wife there who's so loyal to you, and she give her life for the land of Israel, and she's giving her life for the land of Israel. And you see her shivering under the wet blanket and never complaining and never saying anything, just praying to God, that just saying a prayer to Hashem to help. And you try to fall asleep with the wet blanket on, with the wind blowing, so that you can wake up in the morning and have the strength to start building again in the mud with the few possessions that you have. That is the real picture of how the hilltop youth have been struggling over and over again through these very difficult times. And would you believe it? There are thousands of Jewish organizations for every stupid, sick, insane cause under the sun. And not one to support the hilltop youth, to give them financial support. Not one. Except for JTF. We've become their supporters now. Baruch Hashem, thank God. So, we're fighting on both of these big fronts. The first front we spoke about the missile threat and the nuclear threat and the external threats to Israel, these tremendous external threats to Israel's very survival. Literally a threat of a Holocaust, God forbid. Because, 7 million Israeli Jews will not be completely exterminated, God forbid. But a large percentage of them, God forbid, could be killed if there was a nuclear exchange. God forbid, chas v'chalila, chas v'shalom, chas v'chalila. God forbid. We're fighting on that front too, because we have videos. We're the only ones that have videos which we use paid advertising to promote those videos, which have already gotten millions of views. We have videos to Israeli Jews warning them about how important it is that action be taken to deal with this external threat It should be a preemptive strike. Israel should do a preemptive strike to stop this threat. And we're the only ones issuing the warning on our videos to try to wake the people of Israel up before it's too late, and to try to pressure the evil, traitorous Israeli politicians to do what has to be done. That's one front. And then the second front, our involvement is not just educating people, but our involvement is even more direct on the second front. We are directly funding the heroic Jewish youth. We're directly funding their public relations campaign and directly funding their needs in building communities that are the only hope for stopping the creation of a so-called Palestine state. And by the way, there is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians. That's a historical bluff and a lie. But that's what JTF is doing. The UJA is supporting all of our enemies. The UJA is busy supporting programs that tell young Jews to be gay, and that tell young Jews it's okay to intermarry, and that tell young Jews that we have peace with our Arab Muslim enemies that want to destroy Israel, and that tell young Jews and that provide no education, no positive message for young Jews at all. That's what the UJA and the establishment Jewish organizations have supported and have funded all these years, because they themselves are intermarried, self-hating, and evil. And even the Orthodox Jewish establishment, those gutless wimps, those worms, they never, never support the real causes that have to be supported in order to save the Jewish people. Never. Is JTF funding enough? No, it's not enough. It's not enough. We need much more. But at least we're there doing something. And at least there are dozens of hilltop communities. And we're helping. And when they destroy something, at least now it gets publicity. At least now it gets news, thanks to JTF providing relief, providing financial relief, so that these young Jews have a chance now to go out and publicize and breathe for a second, because they get funds from JTF that enables them to breathe and go out and publicize what's going on in their communities. So at least now there's a little counter pressure. It's not enough, but it's something. And if we weren't there, and if these hilltop youth weren't there, God help us. God help us. We would be in tremendous danger, much greater danger than we are now. So you can be very proud to be a JTFer. And those of you who help us, I can't think of any cause more worthy. Those of you who help us financially, and those of you who help us by spreading the word about JTF. I can't think of anything more important for Jews or for righteous Gentiles to do in this generation. That's where we stand. I know that this message may sound like a very alarming message, because the danger can be very alarming. But remember one thing. As grim and as bad as things are, and they may get a lot worse, there could be, God forbid, a lot of suffering and a lot of pain and death and destruction, God forbid, in the future. But in the end, the good guys are going to win. That's something we say on every program. In the end, God promises that we are going to win in the end. The Jews and the righteous Jews, they're going to win in the end. The righteous Gentiles are going to win in the end. That is certain. That's something all the Nevi'im, all the prophets have promised, and that's something Hashem has promised. So let's never despair, and let's never give up hope. Because Od lo avda tikvatenu, our hope is not yet lost. Because we do have one ally. The ally we have is the one who created the heavens and the earth and the world, and who is all-powerful. And he is on the side of the hilltop youth. Make no mistake about it. He's on the side of all those who want the land of Israel for the Jewish people and who want to bring redemption to the Jewish people. So get involved. Help us. Let's work together. If we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history. We can make a difference. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.